60 Bible Study, 22nd of August, 2012.
Has anybody else got something good to share?
I will, because it's, I said to you last week, didn't I? Because I was really blessed last week. I really enjoyed Bible study because it was quite a tough week that I'd had. And I've added this to it. This is what I've put. I really enjoyed last Wednesday's Bible study. And I've since listened to it again twice. The main focus was the power of the tongue. Not only in how we serve other people with love, but also how our words can bring sadness in many different forms. I have drawn knowledge and strength from it, and I'd like to say thank you. I have been meditating on God's word so much over the last week, and I can honestly say that I have drawn strength and wisdom from that as well. The principles of God's law, I have felt his love and strength and support and guidance. It has brought me to a peace and understanding after I found myself in a challenging situation, which is the one I shared with you last week. It did upset me. My faith and trust and belief have been tested, I feel. I have to choose not to meditate on the principles of the law which brings from it is. It really registered to me again since I've been through this. The principles of God's law are full of love, and I like that. I feel God's warmth and love, and I'd like to thank our dear Father for bringing me a step closer to him. The challenge was well worth it. I just want to point out as well that it is only through God's word that this has been able to manifest. I have learnt the meaning of being with people of equal yoke. That week, in that situation, I had never felt so uneasy in my entire life as I did on that day. It wasn't nice at all. God alone controls our future if we allow him to. I must commit to the Lord in whatever I do for my plans to succeed. I may have stumbled on Wednesday, but I didn't fall. I carried with me that day that little prayer my mum did, and Psalm 91, which is printed on the back. It protected me and gave me strength. I had intended it to give it to that person that day, but I found it impossible to part with in the end. And this is something that God gave to me, which I absolutely treasure, and he keeps saying it to me, and I keep it with me always. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he directs your paths.
Yep.
God gave me this scripture when I gave myself to him, and I thank God that I did.
Amen. Thank you, Christine.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Praise God.
Can I share a little bit here? Lynn and I were just chatting about this. When we were talking 2 or 3 weeks ago about seek ye first, as we keep doing, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I then couldn't sleep one night, and I got up and started reading, and I read this, and it's saying, if you want to eat the good of the land, then you need to obey what God says. And he says, if ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But you can't claim it if you're not prepared to be willing and obedient.
Yeah, of course, there's a tail to that, sting in the tail.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And you can't, if you want God to direct your paths, he'll only do it if you seek him in all your ways.
Yeah.
Because it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, but it has that condition.
It says, if you refuse and die,
yeah,
die by the sword or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he says, if you want to be prosperous and have good success, then you need to meditate day and night on God's word. And if you want to be fruitful and prosper, like a tree, you need to delight in God's law and meditate on his word day and night. And if you want peace with God, you can, it only comes by knowing you're justified by faith. It's all by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to focus on, not the problem, but the fact that we're justified by faith. And everything we do is by faith. And then peace comes because we're being obedient. We're being willing and obedient. We're acknowledging him. We're seeking him first. And what's that one? If you want everything else added to you, if you want all your problems taken care of and all your needs taken care of and everything else, then seek God. Just spend time seeking him and he'll take care of everything else. So they all work together really well. And it's just, we can't willy-nilly claim it if we're not prepared to put into action the command.
That's it, isn't it? Anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many people these days have been using this name it and claim it.
Yeah, you can't do it.
And just think that they can do it that way. Well, you can't, because it's about, as Grace said, this personal relationship.
Mm.
Spending time in the Word. Jesus is the Word, so the moment you're in your Bible, you're with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it's about spending time in the Word, because it's the Word that sets you free.
Mm.
Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. And if you want to know what the truth is, go to the Word of God.
Mm.
And if you want some light upon your circumstance and situation, go to the Word of God.
Mm.
Spend time in his presence. Because as we spend time in his presence, then he begins to enlighten us. He begins to show us the way, and he gives us his peace.
Yeah.
He's the Prince of Peace. And John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 32, it says, "And you shall know the truth,
mm-hmm.
and the truth shall make you free."
Yeah.
You shall know Jesus, and Jesus will make you free.
Amen.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one else could.
No.
Nobody else can do it, that's right, Tracy. But the fact is that people don't understand what it means to know Jesus.
Mm.
There has to be a determination to be in the Word. It's not simply like each and every one of us have done in the past, asked him into our hearts and lives and think that's it, we've arrived. We had a great feel-good factor that
yeah.
day when it happened, and
mm.
you know, felt great for a while. And then if we're not careful, we can grow cold.
Yeah.
And we can slip back into the old nature.
Yeah.
We can fall back into old habits. And it's only the Word that draws us back and sets us free and gives us the new life that is
mm.
so important to each and every one of us. And we have to learn to do that. And as you spend time in the Word, God will reveal himself to you. He will reveal revelations about himself, about what's happening in the Word. And as we've said before, this book, just to the educated, can be just a book. But to those that are in the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that seek God, God is Spirit.
Amen.
And as we seek him in the Spirit, and as we pray over the Word, and we ask God to reveal to us things from his Word, he will. To some people, they may only be small things, but they're just as important
mm.
because they are buildings, they're stepping stones.
I was asked for a prayer today. Louise asked me, so I sent her a prayer on but I also said, ask Pauline, because her prayers would be maybe a bit stronger than mine. This is what I said, and that's what happened today. But I did feel as though I could do a small prayer. That's what I felt like, Andrew.
Praise God.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
And
Jesus.
That's what I did, so.
Yeah.
I just sent me one back saying thank you for that prayer, do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
And that's right. And you see, you build on that. Well, you know, don't expect to reach the mountaintop without you've started to climb up the mountain.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way, does it?
No.
You know, you have to start at the bottom and you have to start working on it. And the challenge sometimes is, can be in the middle somewhere.
Nothing, the way I thought was it, when you do prayer, you do it in certain words and one thing. And I do know a few of them, but I couldn't recite anything like that. But I did try and...
Well, you see, prayer is just conversation.
Yeah.
You're telling God what's on your heart. And you're asking God to reach out and touch people. And so prayer is not something that necessarily has to be recited from a book.
Man, one, I just...
But it's what's from the heart.
I sort of said, dear Lord, please give Louise and her dad strength through the time of the loss and look after Louise's grandma until they meet and they can all be together. And that's what I did. And thank you, Jesus, for listening. That's what I said, so... Because she wanted prayer for her dad and her, you see, so that's what I did back. As I said, it was only a little one, but it still counts, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You see, God hears the smallest prayer.
Yeah.
The smallest cry of the heart. God is always listening. Yeah. Because, you see, we have an entrance into the Holy of Holies. Yeah. We have a high priest, Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
It says, who intercedes.
Yeah.
On our behalf. So the moment that we bring something before him, the process of intercession goes on before the Father.
Yeah.
And that prayer is automatically being moved on.
Yeah.
And God is at work. And so we can realise that it's not about how professional we are at times or how skilled we think we are. But it's what's in the heart.
Yeah.
That's the thing that matters. It's what is coming from the heart. It's not what's coming from the head. What is coming from the heart that is so important. Because God sees the heart. He sees your heartbeat. He sees your spirit.
Mm.
And that's what he wants to hear from you. Because that's where you are. That's where you're at. Your mind runs with emotions at times.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you can get up tomorrow and it'll be raining and you think, you know. You can go down a step or two, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you get up the next day and the sun's shining, you think, oh, great.
Yeah, well, you do, don't you?
And it's like, oh, hang on. The word says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And we shall rejoice
and
be glad in it, because
yes.
He's made this day. And whatever he's put into this day is for you and I to have victory through, to see God have an opportunity to move in our lives for his praise and his glory.
And when it's cloudy, the sun is still shining.
Yep. Yeah. The sun is always shining.
Praise God, he's always shining.
So, God's always on his throne. God
shine,
is always
Jesus,
is in
shine.
Charge. Hallelujah. And therefore we can rejoice in that.
Amen.
That God's not having a day off.
I'm so glad.
You know, thank God there are no days in God's calendar in
no,
that
there
sense.
Aren't. He's not in
but
time,
not,
isn't
God is not in time.
No, he's not.
So what we find is a day to God, it's a continuation of. It's eternal. It's just the continuation of eternal, if you can say that. You know what I'm saying, you understand that. And so we have this ability just to go to God. And the reason we have this ability to go to God is because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And that he's our high priest. The word tells us that we are to be priests unto him.
Yeah.
And it's quite amazing what God wants to do for us. Jesus said in John's Gospel, he said, you know, I do the will of the Father. I've got food. The food is to do the will of the Father. He's not talking about natural food. He's talking about he's been spiritually fed and strengthened by doing the will of the Father. And as we were talking, I think it was a Sunday, was it? I don't remember.
You finished up with my folders to do with the women.
Did I finish there? Oh, that's amazing. Because I have no idea where I finished it.
But
I haven't got it at the moment. And I must admit that I'm on this study at the moment, and I said to Grace, I said, I honestly don't know where I am with this. And the reason I don't know where I am with it is that there is so much. There is so much that it's impossible even. You can't give it time in two meetings. There's no way. There is so much that I'm beginning to glean at. I've just seen a little revelation this afternoon, and it's like, wow, I've never seen that before. It's simple. But then again, God did not make it complicated.
No.
Because he didn't make it just for educated people. He made it for... Jesus came to those who were uneducated, the simple people, the people in the villages. And he came and preached a simple gospel. And God wants to reveal himself to you and to me.
Yeah.
But he's not revealing himself through education and knowledge.
Amen.
Because God is spirit. You see, God is not knowledge in that sense. Right? God's not education. He says God is spirit. And he wants you to see and to hear by the Spirit. And then you see things that are written in this Bible that we have, and suddenly God gives you a different angle, slant, and light upon it. It begins to then bring a fresh revelation of what God is wanting to say to each and every one of us. And in John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus says there, I can of myself do nothing. John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 30. Now this is the Son of God speaking, and he says, in my translation it says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. I don't know, has anybody else got anything what different to that? I'm sure you must have.
It says I can of myself do nothing.
Right. Okay. I think when it's, you know, it's probably a little bit stronger in the NASB when it says I can do nothing on my own initiative. He's not able to. He's saying that it has to come from God, and he's saying that because obviously he's already said, he's intimated that he only does the will of the Father.
Yeah.
He only does what he sees God doing. So of his own initiative, he's like, he's not interested in that.
I like what it says though, because it says I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous.
Yeah.
That kind of.
And what he's saying in there is that as he hears, I judge and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will.
Yeah.
You see, this is where he clarifies what he's doing, clarifies what he's hearing, and clarifies what he's saying. And he's saying, because I do not seek my own will. Most people today that you meet with, they're seeking their own will.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeking their own ends. They have an agenda. They have an agenda. Do you fit my agenda? And if you don't, they dump you. That's not family, is it?
No.
It's not godly. And so that is something that, you know, we in leadership also have to be careful of. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. talking about his Heavenly Father. So all the time Jesus is saying, Father, what do you want me to do? Father, what should I do in this? Father, guide me, direct me. So there's this constant communication that Jesus is in with his Heavenly Father. Now bear in mind that Jesus is sinless and spotless and pure. And in his purity, he hears the Father. One of the first times that other people heard the Father's voice was when Jesus was obedient to God and was baptized in water, and God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son,
amen,
in whom I am well pleased." Some thought it thundered, they said. Well, it did thunder. It thundered from heaven.
Yeah.
Can you see, to some degree, those who are not spiritual think it just thundered.
Mm.
Those who were spiritual,
yeah,
heard what the Spirit said.
Yeah.
It's important to realise that we need to continually, and I say we, I mean me, we need to continually keep tuning our spirits and seeking the Father's presence. And the only way we can seek the Father's presence is when we go through Jesus. Jesus is the only access to the Father. A lot of people, we have the impression at times we can go straight to God. The only way we can go to God is when we go through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way. There is no other way to the Father."
Amen.
And so all that, and the Bible also tells us in Hebrews, he's our high priest.
Yeah.
And he's always making intercession for you and for me.
Yeah.
And so in that, when we bring our prayers, we bring them to Jesus.
Yeah.
And he presents them to Father God.
Yeah.
And there is a process that goes on, because he has taken up the position of the high priest, which allows us to enter into the presence of God. And we come through Jesus, and we come in through that way. People think they can just go to God on their own. No, it has to be Jesus. Jesus has to bring us into the introduction.
Well, I didn't realise that you had to pray to Jesus before. That's what I've learned tonight. Because sometimes I've prayed and I've said, "Oh, dear Father, so and so, but you have to go to Jesus, pray to Jesus.
He's the one that carries our prayers and our intercessions before God.
But the word does say, doesn't it? Ask the Father in his name.
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah. But again, what I'm trying to get to is that people leave out Jesus so much these days.
Yeah.
Right. They try and just manage with... See, what they're trying to go do without is they're trying to do without the cross.
Yeah.
They're trying to do without actually being a follower, being a disciple of Jesus.
Yeah.
They're cutting him out in one sense, and they don't realise they're doing it until you bring them up short and say, "Where's Jesus in this? Oh, I'm going straight to God." And don't get me wrong, you know, we enter into the presence of God, but Jesus said, "I'm the door."
Mm-hmm.
He's the good shepherd, and we always have to remember that Jesus is that doorway of the entrance into the presence. We must never forget, and we must never come to that point where we minimise the power and the work of the cross. The death of Jesus on that cross, we must never minimise it.
Can I just clarify this?
Yeah, that's go on.
Because quite often when we pray in here, we do talk to God, we say, "Oh God," and all this stuff. When we send our petition to God, if we finish it by saying, "In the name of Jesus. Mm. Have we done the right?
I think so. Yeah. Right, because I think so. Because we're actually we're not choosing to ignore Jesus. See, some types of faith ignore Jesus and go straight to God. You know, the Jews at the moment, in their faith, they still ignore Jesus.
Well, I said it tonight in the testimony, because I said, thank you, God, didn't I?
But the first thanks goes to Jesus. Because without Jesus, we cannot enter into the presence of God. Without Christ in our lives, in that relationship, we've had it. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, if we just pause for a moment, when Jesus died on that cross, he died and he finished the old covenant.
Mm.
He put it to death. Finished it. He put to death the law. Because he took, and the law, as far as Jesus is calling, is concerned, the law was the Ten Commandments. Because that's what God gave to Moses, right? Yeah. All these others, afterwards, came by the priesthood. God gave Ten Commandments. Jesus came to fulfill all the law and to do away with the law, and he brought in one commandment, which is well, he said the greatest of these commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, etc. But then he also then said in John's Gospel, a new commandment I give unto you. This is the commandment from Jesus, the Son of God, that you love one another as I have loved you.
It's like you said before, haven't you, when you did the Holy Trinity, when we did the Trinity, mm-hmm. like God is, Jesus is the Word, isn't
he? He is the Word, yes.
So you go, yeah.
Without Jesus, and I'm not trying to say this irreverently, but without Jesus, God is dumb. He has no voice.
No.
Do you take the point?
It's quite interesting, though. Yeah. It's quite interesting.
He has no voice, does he?
Yeah, because I didn't realize.
No.
Jesus is the voice of God.
No.
Without the Holy Spirit, nothing gets done.
No.
He's the activator.
Within me, there's my Father, and the Father with me.
Yeah.
Sorry, what did you say?
Within me, there is the Father, and with the Father, there is me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Christ in him, we in Christ, Christ in us, the same thing. Mm. I and the Father, Jesus says, we are one.
Yeah.
Now.
Interlinked.
Yeah, totally connected. Now, if he'd have brought the Holy Spirit in at that time, they wouldn't have had a clue what he's talking about. Because at that point in time, they were not familiar, really, too much with the fact of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God only came on the priest, high priest, prophet, and the king. Well, they no longer had a king. Well, Herod thought he were a king, but I mean, you know, diabolical. The high priests, well, they didn't recognise God when he turned up. Jesus turned up and they didn't recognise him as to who he was. So, straight away there's a lack of spirituality. The only prophet around at that time was John the Baptist. And the Spirit of God was upon him. He recognised Jesus, but nobody else did. He knew who Jesus was. And they cut his head off. And that's why Jesus said to him, you know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you've killed the prophets.
Mm.
You know, John weren't the first. And he, you know, there were others that had gone before that they'd killed, and they'd killed the prophet. He knew who Jesus was. He knew why he was there. Because the Spirit of God was upon John at that time. Because you remember this, when you go back into when Mary goes to see Elizabeth and tells her that You know, the Spirit of God has come upon her and that she's with child. And she said the moment the babe jumped with excitement, because the babe knew immediately who it was. You know, the babe knew, this is the Messiah. This is the one who I will proclaim the way of the Lord. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing the plans that God puts into motion. And so, as I said, without Jesus, there's no voice to God. Without the Spirit, there's no doing of the Word. And none of these things are independent of one another. They are codependent, interdependent with each other. And yet, in themselves, they have their own identity. It takes some understanding. But it's a spiritual dimension that we work in. So Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 30, I can do nothing of myself. John's Gospel, chapter 6 and 38. Now this must have blown their minds away. Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven. Pardon? Can you imagine? You've what? This is blasphemous. She said, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. 38. All the time, Jesus' focus is not to do what he wants to do, but to do the will of the Father. Because he knows that in doing the will of the Father, there's greater blessing, there's greater purpose, because they're working together in a corporate unity. People might say, well, how can they be independent? I've just had a thought on that one. I'm just throwing this one out. How can they be independent of one another? Well, Jesus tells you that they are, because he said, the Son of Man does not know the day or the hour.
Mm.
Of his, only the Father knows.
Mm.
So they're independent, but yet codependent with one another.
Mm.
You take a cord, a single strand, and you can pull it and you can break it quite easily. You take three cords, three strands, and bind them together. They're not three times as strong, it multiplies. God is a multiplication. That's why the word tells us one shall put 1,000 to flight and two shall put 10,000 to flight. It's not an addition, because if it was an addition, we'd only be putting 2,000 to flight, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly it's multiplied up.
It's exponential increase.
That's right,
yeah.
It's this exponential increase. So when we come together, one heart, one purpose, one goal, then God begins to move through Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God begins to move, and we see things change. This last few weeks in some of the meetings, there's been a real move of the Spirit, and God has been ministering to people as strangers have come in, and God has spoken to them and ministered to them and began a process of setting them free and moving them on. And then we move into John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 29. And again Jesus says, and he, the Father, who sent me, is with me. He's been sent, but yet his Father's with him.
Oh, sorry, have I got wrong?
John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 29.
Oh, okay.
Verse 29.
Yeah.
And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him.
Yeah.
Have you noticed there's a theme,
yeah,
that Jesus is bringing out here?
Yeah.
And they're just the odd verses, but you can trace the theme through.
Mm.
And what is he saying? He's always seeking to please his Father.
Yeah.
He's always seeking to do the will of his Father. because he knows that in doing the will of the Father, there's this exponential blessing, there's this exponential power of God. It's a good word, Bill, isn't it? That moves through the church. And so if the church will catch this, that we seek God together and we seek God for doing the will of the Father, then there is going to be an increase of the power.
Yeah.
Not multiplied, not added to, but this exponential multiplying of the power of God.
Mm.
But it's related always to this relationship. Our relationship first with Christ and then with the Father. We can only have a relationship with the Father when we have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
We can't fall out with Jesus and say, I'm going to have a word with your dad.
No.
You know, we've done that. You know, some of us might have done that as children. I'm not, you know, not listening to my mother, I'm going to talk to my dad. You know, or I'm not talking to my dad, I'm listening to my mother. So, you know, and you try and play them off against one another.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. You see, because the moment that you went to God like that, God would say, excuse me, see Jesus. You have to come through Jesus. And you have to keep that relationship right with him. If I be lifted up, if he's glorified, and it's this thing of this personal relationship, because he's the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people, they leave the Bible and just go straight to God. No, you're missing it. You need this, you need to spend time with Jesus. He's your life source. He's your blessing.
The Word's Jesus, isn't it?
The Word, yes, the
so
Word is
Jesus. So
you're
quoting the Word to the Father, you're quoting in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Mm.
But this, it's this.
Well, it's powerful.
But what we've got to watch, and people do this, because this is where you get the name and claim it coming out. They quote the Word. But if you analyze, if you were to talk to these, so a lot of these people, what's your relationship like with Jesus?
Mm.
They would have a strange look upon them, upon their face, and they'd say, well, what do you mean? Well, what's your relationship like with Jesus? They don't know, because they haven't got a relationship with him. He's your brother. I don't talk to Ken for a couple of weeks and that, or a month, and I see him two or three times a week. I start thinking, what's going off? What's the matter? Won't he? You know, it's like, what if I don't talk to Grace? Choose that. What's the matter? And if we're not going to talk to Jesus, what's the matter? What are you doing? You know? So it's this relationship that goes on. And it, daily, the Word tells us, daily take up your cross. Daily connect with Jesus. Be involved with him.
You see, people they pray because they want something.
Well, this is, yeah, now you're getting to it, you see.
And that's what you tend to do. They don't think about
relationship,
do they?
No. Yeah. You see, prayer, the way you're talking about it, is certainly not a relationship. It's basically, I've got my prayer checkbook, I'm just going to write a prayer check.
And then a shopping list. And then it's thanking as well, for one thing.
And, well, most of the time, they just walk away and tear it off and just hand it in, and that's it. And when it comes to, they don't thank God in anticipation thereof, they just walk away from it. And then when they get what they want, they then even forget to thank God themselves then.
See, this is what's happening in church, just they don't teach this, do they? About the relationship.
No. No, because the relationships, generally speaking, have gone to the place of being so shallow. Shallow relationships. Relationships, there's a cost involved on both sides.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's not a relationship. And so, in our relationship with our Lord, there is a price to pay in other spending time with Him. And the world would try and sap your time and stop you doing it. And it's so easy to get caught up in it. And the moment that you start to spend some more time with Him, He starts to whisper secrets and reveal things to you. Let's move on to John's Gospel, chapter 10. What we're really doing is we're sort of looking at the process of what is happening on the process to the cross, through the cross, and to the throne of God.
Yeah.
This is what we're working through. This is a process that is going on. Now, the process for Jesus to get to the cross, to have the strength to go through that, and to enter into the presence of God, it is all dependent on His personal relationship with His own Father.
Yeah.
Can't do it without this relationship with His Father. See, you know, we've said it earlier, on Sunday, the fact that when Jesus was in the garden, not my will, Lord, but Thy will be done. And He said, it says in one of the Gospels, it says, and an angel came to strengthen Him. An angel was dispatched from heaven to strengthen Jesus during the time of grief and agony as He began taking upon Himself the sins of the world, as He was being made sin.
Because when He was angel that came to me was he took the wrath, didn't he, as well, of God. So I mean, that must have been terrible for Him, because he was so in love with His Father.
That's right.
So it must have been,
when you are totally connected and totally involved with somebody, and then their wrath is turned upon you.
And he'd know the wrath of God.
And he'd have seen it at different. Well, he saw it in Sodom and Gomorrah. He'd seen when the earth split and people were destroyed, and he'd saw when God sent the angel of death.
Yeah.
See, he could have sinned then, you see, couldn't he? Because in a way,
the opportunity was there for him.
He was feeling fear, and I think he just, it's like a plea. And like you say, that angel, he's thought, no, your will be done.
Yep. Mm.
So it's just like us, isn't it? That negativeness, if in the midst of turmoil or whatever.
How do we turn? How do we respond?
Yeah.
And I think it's not taught enough, it's not mentioned enough, and we're guilty of that very same thing.
Yeah.
Where do we turn, in a time of difficulty? Do we panic and do we allow fear to come in?
Yeah.
Or do we turn to God and say, Father, you know, just come to You in the name of Jesus, that You will give me the strength, You will help me through this difficult situation. And then we have to learn to begin to trust Him. And so often we run through our mind, it can be a minefield, forgive me for that, our mind is a minefield of explosions and disasters waiting to happen if we allow ourselves to go down that avenue. The mind is so complicated, our thought patterns, sometimes you wonder about our thought patterns, because you look at some people, the way they think, and you just think, how did they get there? You've got to have thought that. How did they come to that conclusion? You think, and you've heard the comment where people, that person's got a warped mind or sense of humour, and it is that way at times. But you see, the Spirit of God is not warped. It's direct. It knows the truth, and it is the truth. It's the light. And so we have to realise this. And in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 15 and 17, Jesus says, even as the Father knows Me, and I know the Father. See, there's this relationship again.
Yeah.
There's this constant bringing out of a relationship. John was the one who had a close relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think to some degree, maybe he got some of this understanding through his own close relationship that he had with Jesus. He says he leaned on the breast of Jesus at one time.
And when it says, and I lay down my life for the sheep, is that us?
Let me get there.
Sorry.
All right.
I apologise.
You know, you're rushing on. You got somewhere to go?
No. Sorry. It's me, I'm eager. Sorry.
I'm supposed to take cover.
I don't want to do that. I'm just eager,
I like it.
Might
be foisted on you if you're not careful.
Ah, there you go. Yes, that's true.
I get excited, can't help it.
As the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Yeah, we are the sheep. We're the sheep of his pasture.
We are the sheep.
Yes. I like being the sheep.
Yeah, the trouble with sheep now and again, they start tupping amongst themselves.
Mm.
You know, they've got a very hard skull. And I hadn't seen this until one time I went to Peterborough. And I think we'd set the camp up or something, and Grace and I were looking at the sheep. And there were a group of sheep together. And there was one of them, and it was a real obnoxious piece of wool. And every time another sheep came near it, it went for them and it butted it. Boom! And you could hear this banging of heads, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And it weren't just one that it picked on it. So every time another one came near, boom! It's like this thing was going to be the leader of some sort. And I thought, by God, I thought that must hurt. But sometimes it's a bit like that with some Christians. You can bang your head against theirs as much as you want. It's not worth it. It has to be spirit. You can send them as many text messages as you want.
Yeah.
Only runs your bill up. You might say, well, I get free text messages. You don't. You pay for it every month. Notes free. Right? Only salvation.
Amen.
Praise God.
Cost Jesus.
It costs Jesus a lot, but for you and me, it's free. And it's, unless we are willing, nothing changes for us. Salvation would not be ours now if Jesus had refused to be willing. It's simple as that. If Jesus had said, I'm not prepared to do this, that would have been it. We would have died in our trespasses and sins, and God would have said, come on home, son. Where would you be now? Some of us would be dead.
Most of us would.
Probably most of us are.
Yeah.
Sin does have its consequences. But you see, there's a sacrifice, and that sacrifice is Jesus. And if we, you know, keep that in the forefront of our hearts and mind and realise this, then we'll see the power of God working in our lives. I'm just going to leave you with a thought. I just want to move on to something that I'll bring it out again later on another session. But it was, you know, we've talked about the temple, and that when Christ died, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Yeah. God, and we've said, you know, that allows, God tore it open and allows us the entrance into the Holy of Holies. We also said it also showed us that, or showed the people, the high priest, that the glory had gone. The presence of God was no longer with them. There was no more sacrifices, no more blood sacrifices ever again. The glory had gone. God had revealed it to them. Didn't reveal it by the Spirit, he revealed it by pure and simply saying, look, it's not there anymore. You've rejected me once too often. And that's it. Now remember this. All the blessings the land, the spirit, the law, everything, all the blessings, the nation, all the blessings that they had was because of their sacrifice, their blood sacrifices under the old covenant. They once a year they took a goat, a scapegoat as it was called, and they laid their sin, they killed one, and then laid their hands on it, right? And by the laying on of hands, they imparted their sins onto this scapegoat.
Yeah.
And the scapegoat was then taken out into the desert and set free. Well, set free, is that what you call it? Left to die, basically. Yeah. You know, they'd made sure it weren't coming back. Mm-hmm. They took it out into the desert so that their sins were gone. And that was the metaphor that was being used. Mm-hmm. And God, at that time of the temple, tore that curtain open, said the glory's gone, there's no more blood sacrifices, and so there'll be no more scapegoats, because there is only one scapegoat. That scapegoat now is through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Our only escape is through Christ Jesus. There isn't another way. When you think about that curtain, I suddenly got a little revelation tonight as I was spending time reading and just pondering. Jesus said that there will be a new covenant, and that the Spirit will be carried in earthen vessels.
Amen.
That's you and me. Mm. Right? And within us would be the Holy of Holies. But God made a covering, told Moses to make a covering to hide the glory. Right? In the Holy of Holies, didn't he? And this is this curtain that God then tore. Right? You'll see where I'm going to in a few moments. God has made a covering over the Holy of Holies, over this new temple. It's called skin.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might say, how do you get that? Here it comes. And pondering on this thought, Jesus was being crucified on that cross. When he became sin, God turned from him, and 3 hours there was darkness. From 12 o'clock midday through to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness covered the earth. Right? That's midday. The sun's at its strongest, at its highest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally blotted out. It's blotted out because of the sins. And God has turned away. And during that time, Jesus commits his spirit unto God and dies. They don't break any of his bones, because Scripture says in Isaiah they'll not break any of his bones.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were saying last week, they thrust a spear into his side, and blood and water came out. The glory came out. The skin, the curtain, was torn by a spear.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see the pattern?
Mm-hmm.
God tears the temple curtain. The Roman soldiers thrust a spear in his side, and the skin curtain of the contained the glory, because Jesus was carrying the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's constantly in communication with his Father, then the glory has to be within him. Moses, when he went to the tent of meetings, had to cover his face because the glory was upon him. So Jesus, if he's in constant communication with the Father and always listening to what the Father's saying and watching what the Father's doing and doing the will of the Father, he's filled with the glory. The only thing that was stopping it from being seen was his skin. And when they pierced his side, it was revealed that the glory had gone. He died, and the glory had gone. And let me tell you this, if the glory is not in the church, if the glory is not in our lives, we might as well be dead. And I just thought, there's a type and a shadow of what God is trying to, what is being shared on the cross. The cross, you know, the type and the shadow was God tearing the curtain and saying the glory's gone. On the cross, Jesus was crucified, was the spear in his side, it was like the glory's gone. The glory's gone. And I thought, yes. But Jesus said, didn't he? This temple will be destroyed. But he said, in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. He was raised to glory. He was raised by glory, to glory, to be glory. When he came into the presence, you know, of his disciples, they didn't recognize him. Even when he came into the room where they were, they still didn't recognize him.
Mary didn't recognize him in the garden.
Mary didn't recognize him in the garden. Right. The glory has transformed him. I tell you that God's intention is to restore us back to paradise. The glory of the presence of God, his former glory. And when I looked at this just for a few minutes, and I thought, wow, yeah, this is the pattern God is showing. God repeats it, you see. And I'd never seen it before. But when his side was pierced, it was the tearing of the curtain to show the glory's gone. He was already dead.
Mm.
The temple worship was already dead.
Mm.
The glory had left a long time ago. But they weren't going to let anybody see, were they? They were still controlling the people. The people were still sacrificing. When Jesus was born, they took a sacrifice for his birth. So the sacrifices were still going on, but the glory was gone. They were doing it out of just
ritual.
They were worshipping the law and not the lawgiver. And there's the difference. They weren't worshipping God anymore. They were worshipping the law that they'd got. And the people had been deceived. And so Jesus comes and he reveals the deception. And on his death, he reveals it totally and fully, and that curtain is torn. And it's revealed, just look, glory's gone. Because bear this in mind, the high priesthood went in there. And he would see whether the glory was there or not. He knew the glory was gone. But if the people knew the glory was gone, he was out of a job.
And a position.
And a position. And power, which they all liked. They loved it. You see, when Jesus came, he revealed, through his death, that was totally revealed. And so Jesus' death is the pattern, the temple is the type and the shadow. You see, when Solomon first built the temple, it says when they read the word, he says the glory of God came down.
Yeah.
And his train filled the temple. Right? That's what God wants to do. God is looking for earthen vessels that he might fill the temple.
Yeah.
And Jesus came as that temple man, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with God, doing the will of the Father, sinless, spotless, as we are being in that new creation, created sinless and spotless, to carry the anointing, the glory. You know, many times it talks about Jesus. Jesus Christ means Jesus, the anointed one.
Mm.
All right, let's look at that a little bit for a moment. Just say, Jesus, the anointed, glorified one.
Mm.
because that's what he is. Although he walked on the earth, he's anointed, but he's also glorified. Because if he wasn't, he couldn't spend time in the presence of his Father like he did. And so here we have this, our Lord and our Saviour is now, through this, that spear is revealing that in this body at this time, the curtain, the flesh is torn. Blood and water flows out. The sacrifice is complete. The glory is now gone. The old covenant is done away with. The new covenant is now being brought into being. And on the day of Pentecost, it comes to full fruition. When the Spirit comes and falls, and he says, and men heard in their own language the gospel, the good news, and 3,000 souls were added to the church, the glory came down. Spirit of God, the glory came down and began to fill these people. It says that disciples were gathered together in the upper room, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon them, and they spoke in tongues, and they went out, declared the gospel, and Peter winds it all up, finishes it off. 3,000 men and women were added to the church that day. That's what should be happening. That's the power of the gospel. Yeah, the Holy of Holies is inside. I think when we start to think about that, you're probably going to have some problems with the enemy trying to deceive you. He's going to test you. He's going to challenge your thoughts. He's going to challenge you. He's been challenging me this week on it. And it's like, I've got to break through this, because this vessel is supposed to carry the glory.
Yeah. Amen.
The vessels that are born of the Spirit of God, are born of the Spirit of God and made anew to carry the glory.
Yeah.
It's like when the prophet went down to the potter's house. God is making vessels. The principle of the story, God is making vessels. He's the potter. You're the clay. He's making a vessel. What's he making the vessel for?
For his glory.
For his glory to be contained. To be poured out from that vessel, you see. When he made Adam from the dust of the earth, he made him to contain his glory. To be his glory on the earth. It was this threefold relationship that Adam was to rule the earth in relationship with his Heavenly Father. That's what it was about. Nothing's changed. We read in Scripture, it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13. Let me tell you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's plan is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He hasn't changed his mind. Just because it's not happened the way you and I have wanted it to happen, that does not mean God has decided to rip it up and we'll start again. No, he said the plan's laid. It will be established.
Amen.
What he has said, he has said. But that scripture where it said,
"What I have written,
I have written," and that was Pilate. But God said that his word would go out. Cast your bread upon the water, and it would return to you, right, in many days. And in the same way, the word of God has gone out, and it will return back to him, bringing in the harvest, bringing in the blessings, bringing in the fruit. And in that sense, Jesus has gone out, and that word has been sacrificed and cast upon the sea of life.
Of course, he's a seed.
Exactly. Yeah. He's the seed.
Yeah.
And from the seed.
That's
right. We are now of the seed. There's the harvest is being reaped. We are of the harvest of the seed that were in Jesus Christ. And so all these things have started to sort of tick certain boxes, if you want.
It's incorruptible seed.
Yeah, that's right. It's an incorruptible seed. But the devil wants to try and stop it. But God is on the throne. And in this Holy of Holies, you know, God is doing a work. Well, I think we better stop there tonight. I think I've given you enough to sort of just
I've got to go home and
ponder
dig.
On now. Leave you some digging to do, and you can come back on me on those things. But when I just saw this about this spear, it was like tearing the curtain open.
It is.
I mean, I've been a Christian a long time, and I've never seen that one before. Do you know why? Because it's never been taught to me in that way. But when we, you know, when you wait on God a little bit.
Yeah, because we always learn that it was right to give access, as if it formed the way through.
Exactly, and I've preached that.
Yes.
And to a measure, it was an access of vision to say, look, but there's nothing there to go for. In reality, you see, if you think about it, and it's only now, the curtain's torn, and immediately it lets you see there's no glory in there. And if we're a priesthood and a holy nation, we have access to the glory. And so really it's just this thought that's come to me about the fact that God's torn it up and said, look, the glory's gone. Jesus was in the same way, his flesh was torn open by the spear. The glory is gone. He went to be with his Father. Then he returns victorious from the grave. Takes his blood and offers it as a seal of the reward for paid in full for all of mankind. That's what it's about. Paid for all sin, past, present and future. Paid in full. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Paid in full.
Because all of the world, yeah.
That's right. And everything is paid for. And the blessings of God are there for you and for me if we will grasp this and take hold of this. And so, yeah, there is a point where we said there's access to God because the curtain's now torn. Yeah, there is access to God because the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ was torn to show us that he's now the way. You see, he resembles the temple in that if we want to go into the Holy of Holies in the natural temple, we could go through the curtain. Now, we go through Jesus Christ, whose flesh, whose curtain of flesh was opened, that we might have access to the glory and to the presence of God through his precious blood. There's a lot in there to work on. You can focus on that for quite a while, actually. Just chewing it and things will develop out. Just bless you for listening, and I hope you've been challenged and given something to think about. Some of these things you can't share with everybody, because they'll get upset about it. But, hey, we need to see the glory. We need to get the revelation of what God has done for us, and see the power of God changing circumstances, situations, through the entrance as we enter in through Christ Jesus into the presence of God. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.